Welcome to SCOTUScast, a project of the Federalist Society for Law and Public Policy Studies. Our contributors join us from around the country to bring you expert commentary on U.S. Supreme Court cases as they are argued and decisions are issued. The Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker.
Thank you for joining us for this post-decision episode of SCOTUScast, Armed Career Criminal Act and the Breath of Burglary Edition. I'm your host, Bridget Flaherty. On December 10th, 2018, the Supreme Court decided the consolidated cases United States v. Stitt and United States v. Sims, both concerning the Federal Armed Career Criminal Act, ACCA. ACCA imposes a 15-year mandatory minimum prison sentence on any federal firearms offender who has three or more convictions for a violent felony or serious drug offense. Burglary qualifies as a violent felony under ACCA, but the statute applies a generic understanding of burglary that may be narrower than some state burglary offenses. A prior state conviction does not qualify as burglary under ACCA if the elements of the state statute are broader than those of generic burglary, namely, an unlawful or unprivileged entry into or remaining in a building or other structure with intent to commit a crime. Here, both defendants persuaded federal courts of appeals, the Sixth Circuit for Stitt and the Eighth Circuit for Sims, that their sentences were improperly enhanced because predicate burglary convictions under the laws of Tennessee and Arkansas, respectively, involved elements categorically broader than the generic burglary encompassed by ACCA. The Supreme Court consolidated the cases and granted certiorari to consider whether burglary of a non-permanent or mobile structure that is adapted or used for overnight accommodation can qualify as burglary for purposes of ACCA. The Supreme Court unanimously reversed the judgment of the Sixth Circuit in Stitt and vacated the judgment of the Eighth Circuit in Sims, remanding that case for additional proceedings relating to the breadth of Arkansas's burglary statute. In an opinion delivered by Justice Breyer, the court held that the term burglary in ACCA involves burglary of a structure or vehicle that has been adapted or is customarily used for overnight accommodation. And now, to discuss the case, we have Robert Leiter, Associate Professor of Law at George Mason University Antonin Scalia Law School.
This podcast is about the Supreme Court's December 10, 2018 decision in United States v. Stitt, which held that burglary under the Armed Career Criminal Act includes burglarizing mobile structures and vehicles adapted or customarily used for overnight accommodation. I'm going to give some background on the Armed Career Criminal Act and then explain how this decision fits in. The Gun Control Act generally prohibits the possession of a firearm by a felon. Today, a felon illegally possessing a firearm can be sentenced to up to 10 years in prison, with the average sentence being about 4 years. But if a person is an armed career criminal, that sentencing range changes drastically. Under a law known as the Armed Career Criminal Act, a person with three qualifying felony convictions may be sentenced to a minimum of 15 years and to a maximum of life. To count as a qualifying conviction, a crime must be either a violent felony or a serious drug offense, and here we're concerned with the definition of a violent felony. So to be a violent felony, a crime must meet the following requirements. It must be, first, a felony, or in other words, a crime punishable by more than 1 year in prison. And either it must have as an element the use, attempted use, or threatened use of physical force against the person of another. This is known as the elements clause. Or it must be burglary, arson, or extortion, involve the use of explosives, or otherwise involve conduct that presents a serious potential risk of physical injury. Now that last clause, otherwise involves conduct that presents a serious potential risk of physical injury, is known as the residual clause. And the Supreme Court spent nearly a decade trying to interpret it consistently. In 2015, the court gave up. In a case called Johnson v. United States, the court held that the residual clause was unconstitutionally vague. So to prosecute somebody today under the Armed Career Criminal Act, the government must prove either that it satisfies the force requirements under the elements clause or that it constitutes burglary, arson, extortion, or the use of explosives. And this term, there's a lot of litigation about how to interpret these terms. Now, to determine whether a person has a qualifying conviction, courts apply the so-called categorical approach. Under this approach, courts look to the law under which the defendant was convicted, not to what the person actually did, and then determine whether the law encompasses no more conduct than the generic federal definition of the crime. So take burglary, which was at issue in this case. Federal law does not presently define what burglary means, and the concept of burglary has expanded over time. So at common law, burglary was the breaking and entering of a dwelling house at nighttime with the intent to commit a felony. But most states now include among burglary daytime breaking and entering, or the breaking and entering of offices and other non-residential structures. If a state defines burglary in accordance with the very strict common law definition, there's no problem, because whatever the federal definition of burglary means, it surely means at least that. But the problem comes in because states often make subtle additions, for example, by adding vehicles to the types of places that may be burgled. And so courts face the question of whether these state burglary statutes invariably qualify as generic burglary as understood by federal law. That brings us to these cases. Victor Stitt was convicted under a Tennessee burglary statute that includes mobile homes, trailers, and tents that are designed or adapted for the overnight accommodation of persons, and self-propelled vehicles that are designed or adapted for the overnight accommodation of persons and actually occupied at the time of initial entry. This case was also combined with another case, United States versus Sims, and the respondent there, Jason Daniel Sims, was convicted in Arkansas under a burglary law that includes vehicles customarily used for overnight accommodation of persons. Both were sentenced under the Armed Career Criminal Act, and in both cases, the courts of appeals reversed. So the Sixth and the Eighth Circuits relied on language in earlier Supreme Court cases that said that vehicles do not come within the general definition of burglary. When the court established the categorical approach in 1990, it also held, in a case called Taylor versus United States, that the burglary convictions at issue there did not qualify, where state law allowed for burglaries of any, quote, booth or tent, or any boat or vessel or railroad car. And the court had repeated in later cases that generic burglary only includes buildings or other structures, not vehicles. The circuits here relied on that and said it doesn't matter whether the vehicles are adapted for overnight accommodation or not. In any event, they are vehicles, not buildings or structures. In the Sixth Circuit case, Judge Sutton dissented, and he said that generic burglary should follow the law of burglary in most states as that existed in 1986, and that most states included mobile structures adapted to overnight accommodation. A contrary definition would effectively nullify most states' burglary laws as predicates, because to fit within the categorical approach, all or virtually all of the crimes that somebody could theoretically be convicted under must fit within the generic definition. So before the Supreme Court, the United States essentially adopted Judge Sutton's argument. They noted that most states in 1986 included mobile structures adapted to overnight accommodation, and they noted that a contrary definition would effectively nullify most state laws as predicates. And the court has previously been concerned about that. In a case called Voisin versus United States, the court looked to how battery statutes were interpreted under a different law that involved a misdemeanor crime of domestic violence. The court noted that it didn't want to interpret state laws in a way that would effectively nullify the ban. Before the Supreme Court, Stitt argued not so fast. He said, when Congress passed the Armed Career Criminal Act in 1984, it defined burglary as any felony consisting of entering or remaining surreptitiously within a building that is property of another with intent to engage in conduct constituting a federal or state offense. When Congress first amended the Armed Career Criminal Act in 1986, it adopted a similar definition. It was only through a peculiarity of the legislative process that Congress, possibly accidentally, deleted the definition of burglary in 1986. But Stitt argued that it's clear all along that Congress has intended the definition to apply to buildings or structures, not to vehicles. And he further notes that in all subsequent proposals to restore the definition, Congress has not proposed adding vehicles. In an opinion written by Justice Breyer, the Supreme Court agreed with the government. The court found that most states in 1986 included vehicles adapted or customarily used for lodging as places where burglary may happen, and the court's opinion includes references to all those statutes. And Justice Breyer notes that this fits with the purpose of the statute, which is to prevent violent confrontations by career criminals. There's little difference if somebody breaks into somebody's permanent structure or a temporary structure that is being used for lodging. The court ended up reversing the Sixth Circuit decision. Sims made some additional arguments related to peculiarities of Arkansas law. He argued that Arkansas law applied to other kinds of vehicles. The Supreme Court gave him a limited remand to make that argument. They did not pass on the merits. So this case is important only because a contrary ruling would have made it difficult to make burglary a predicate offense. Because most states define burglary to include temporary structures that are adapted for overnight accommodation, if the court had agreed with the respondents in these cases, most state burglary convictions would not qualify as predicate offenses, and that would further narrow the Armed Career Criminal Act. So the court, in finding for the government, at least leaves most state laws in place as predicates. But in terms of greater significance, this case has very little. There are other cases coming behind it, including where the court is going to define how much force is necessary to constitute a violent felony under the Armed Career Criminal Act, and those cases may have more significance going forward. In the interim, Congress knows that there's a problem with the categorical approach, and there are legislative fixes percolating among Congress, but Congress has yet to pass one. Now, while this seems all technical, there is a real Sixth Amendment issue that underlies these problems. So, you know, Justice Breyer, ironically, got the majority opinion here, but he is no fan of the categorical approach. He thinks that you should look at what a person actually did rather than the statute under which he was convicted. But underlying this, at least for originalists, is the fact that under an exception to Apprendi, prosecutors do not have to prove the fact of prior conviction to a jury. All they can do is admit into evidence the record of conviction. And so the issue for the court has been what it is that they get to admit, and the court has said very narrowly, it is just the fact of conviction and the law under which the person was convicted, not the actual factual predicate circumstances of the person's individual crime. And so, to the extent that that exception remains viable under Apprendi, the court has said it is a limited one. But in the interim, the Armed Career Criminal Act is soldiering on, although, as Justice Alito noted during one of the arguments this term, it has been picked apart, and we'll see how picked apart it gets in future cases. But at least for now, the Armed Career Criminal Act gets a reprieve, and burglary as defined by the law of most states will continue to count as a predicate offense for federal purposes.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUSCast. SCOTUSCast is a project of the Federalist Society, a not-for-profit educational organization of conservative and libertarian law students, law professors, and lawyers, founded upon the principles that the state exists to preserve freedom, that the separation of governmental powers is central to our Constitution, and that it is emphatically the province and duty of the judiciary to say what the law is, not what it should be. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast series, including SCOTUSCast and Practice Group Podcasts, on iTunes or Google Play. For an archive of past podcasts, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at fedsoc.org/multimedia. That's fedsoc.org/multimedia.
This has been a FedSoc audio production.